True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host, I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Thank you all for spending your Saturday morning here with us. I'm sorry, I know I wanted to start a little earlier, like at 8:30, but hopefully everybody got the message and the notification that we were having a 10 o'clock show. I had News Nation this morning where we were discussing Nancy Guthrie, specifically regarding Nancy. Look, there's truly nothing new from an investigator's standpoint, but what there is new about this case is the repeated information regarding the issues with the investigation. And I know we've talked a lot about this, so I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I do want to say that those mistakes made early on, I think certainly are why there's such a huge stall in the investigation. Those first 48 hours are just so critical because after that, things get a little bit more stale. You're not out there at that moment to pull that video, to get those the interviews done right in the neighborhood, right at that moment. There was just a lot early on. We've discussed the crime scene ad nauseum, so that's the biggest error. Also, I think on day two, calling off the search, that made no sense to me, especially with them being in the Sonoran Desert. Nevertheless, what I did want to bring up that I just wanted to touch on, because I think it's very interesting to me, and it was the first time Dr. Fitzpatrick actually brought it up. And I want to show you guys some footage. First of all, this is Porch Guy, and he goes and he gets, these are not dry shrubs. I just want everybody to know that. I had some people say, oh, he wouldn't use dry shrubs. He didn't. He actually pulls these, and it takes him a little while because it's very living, this plant, right? So nevertheless, he pulls this, and I would argue in terms of using it to obscure, and you can see here, I don't think that's what he was doing. He could have used his hand to obscure. Again, Occam's razor, the simplest solution is usually the solution that people go to and people use. And then that's why it's the simplest solution when analyzing crime, analyzing behavior, analyzing science, medicine, in every aspect, in every discipline, Occam's razor is applicable. It seems he goes and he grabs this because he does not anticipate the slickeriness combined with his ridiculous glove wear that he has. In other words, his gloves, I think they could be double layered. They're very thick. You see how they don't fit right? So these aren't your normal nitrile gloves that have, I think, that ability where they would be more grippy, especially if they're tight fitting. If he had the glove underneath, which I think is very possible, a glove over top, keep playing this, as you can kind of see by the how big they are on him, I think it was difficult for him to grab it. Remember, we now know, which we never knew at first, we now know from Savannah Guthrie that this was not removed with, you know, using an instrument or a tool. There was nothing, you know, delicate about this. He grabbed it and pulled it off the camera. He did that specifically because he was planning on taking Nancy Guthrie out that way, which is the closest position to a car. I know we've discussed that portion a lot. But that was the mission of this. That was the mission that he was there. He was not there on that front porch to go in. That was not the plan. The plan, I believe, and I want to show you too, and I had this image sent to me, which I really appreciated. So not the card. Again, we've gone over this card that was put in when individuals are missing and they're gone. These cards, these social workers come by afterwards to meet with them, apparently. You know, we did a deep dive into that card. You know, in all of these cases, and it doesn't matter, even cases that are done with, like the Idaho 4 case, you're going to have sort of people not remembering a lot of the small details, or maybe they didn't know it. In other words, there's so much on this case. I think I've done, well, 63, going on 63 lives about this case. That's how much there is to discuss. And some are an hour and 2 hours long because there's so much to discuss on this case, the little intricacies. So I think a lot of people just may not have been able to consume all the details. And so that might be why a lot of people are saying, well, what about this? And what about this that maybe we've already discussed? I'm just so happy to go over it again because it's really important. But that wasn't even what I wanted to bring up about this picture. If you look and you see on the left edge of this, if you look at that, there is plant matter there. Do you see it? It's the top left as you're facing the door, plant matter right there. And that shows me this wasn't just used to obscure the camera. No, this was used to actually grab and grip that camera, I believe, because he had slippage with these gloves. You see, there, that's a pretty good picture. I think there's a glove underneath that. And then he's got this big fat glove over top and it doesn't fit his hand tight at all. It's so loose on there. It's like no gloves I've ever seen used by bad guys. But it's kind of brilliant because now if you have to do something unexpected, like grab something that could have been thorny, that could have caused a micro tear, even if it tore the first layer, it's probably not going to tear that second layer. We had Dr. Fitzpatrick, the DNA expert, on, and she specifically talked about the low probability that even the saliva, you know, would have been dripped and found, and how difficult it is to do these surveys and things. So nevertheless, I think that he used it to grip. And I combine that with watching him here, watching him closely, how he reaches out, and you see, I think he's pulling right there, and combined with this, which is this green foliage on the far left, that to me, you wouldn't have that. If you were just trying to obscure your face again, there was no reason to grab those weeds. You could just use your hand. In fact, that's better than using weeds. And believe me, I went down that rabbit trail early and when we discussed that, but in all seriousness, this I firmly believe was used to grab and grip at that camera, which was, he did not anticipate, and that always happens. People don't anticipate that they're going to have issues with this. What does this tell me? This tells me he never used these gloves before. He never double layered gloves. He never tried to remove a ring camera, a nest camera, door camera. That's probably the most important thing we can take out of this. He did not do this in the past. That is what this tells me. He never removed a nest camera in the past, and he never used double layer gloves. So he was surprised. He didn't practice this part. He's not a pro. He didn't do this for a living. He didn't know how to remove a nest camera, that there would be issues with how he put his gloves on. That is our huge takeaway here. Not that he used that for gripping, but rather the huge takeaway is he hadn't done it in the past, because if he had, he would know there would be an issue with this. So that is my huge, huge takeaway from this. Oh, I want to thank, let me remove this. I want to thank Arizona Gal. Arizona Gal, you have to be so excited. Your team is in the Final Four for all my Arizonians in here and all my basketball fans. Listen, March Madness is the coolest time. I've been so busy. I didn't even do a bracket this year. It's one of my, I think, other than when I worked for the NFL and we weren't allowed to, this is the first time I have not been able to do a bracket. So for those of you who are rooting for Arizona, good luck to all of y'all. Hi, Jen, love your channel. Repping the Arizona Wildcats. Okay, I didn't even see that. From Tucson in today's Final Four matchup versus Michigan. It's going to be a good one. Listen, I don't have a dog in the fight. My teams are out, both of my teams where I went to school, the University of Kansas and Wichita State. So I have no dog in the fight. So you know what? I'm going to root for Arizona. I don't have a bracket. Let's go Wildcats. So I'm going to root for them. On behalf of Nancy too, which I bet you anything, I bet you Nancy was a, I wouldn't doubt it, let's put it that way, that she would have been a fan just based on the longevity, you know, how long she lived there. Whoops, I do not want to put her up yet. I have a lot to say about her, but I just wanted to update you all because, you know, one of the biggest epiphanies I ever got in this case was when I saw the black antenna sticking out of the pants of Porch Guy. That tells me somebody else was involved. In these types of cases, typically somebody else is involved. And to me, this whole plant thing, and I didn't state it well, but I'm going to get back on X and put it out again. But this is so important again because the epiphany, he probably didn't do it before. Okay, sorry, I'm beating that dead horse. Let's move on to the timeline. I just want to refresh everybody with the timeline and why this is so important. This to me is so important because, and we've talked about this a little bit, but the 212, and you see there, it was a person, not an animal. And I know initially, I think somebody said, well, it might have been an animal, but at least, and News Nation took this directly from the what was said at the news conference. It was a person, and that makes all the sense in the world. 147, you remove this, you snatch it right off with your weeds that you just plucked. You leave behind remnants of the force that was used of pushing those weeds and them getting caught in that crevice right there. Then what do? You head out around the house because you're not going to make entry through this difficult door to get in. And it's the front part of the house. No, you're not going to do that. You go to the back with these easy entry points. You enter and you snatch up Nancy after you open that door. He would have had to have gone in, open that front door, unless his accomplice was in there with him, which could have been because the two back doors were open. If he had an accomplice in there with him, so now we're at three people, leave the back doors open for the accomplice to come in because you had to radio for him. So then he comes in, joins you. They always know they're going to take Nancy out the front. They are not going to risk going around this large house. Remember, it's a spread out house. You're not going to risk that with other people's cameras that could catch them, neighborhood cameras. And then, plus, if they did their site survey knowing there were those two roof cameras of Nancy's, which again, they did get caught on, one person got caught on, you're going to walk in. If that other person was inside, which I think is very possible, why Porch Guy was outside taking his own sweet time, he's going to unlock the door, which makes sense for me why Porch Guy reached down and tried to open the door with his left hand, and he, as he was removing the camera with his right hand, then he goes around back. We see him at 212. They snatch her from her bed, run out. They're not there for any length of time, which now matches up to the new reporting, source reporting, but still new reporting that in the house there wasn't sign of a struggle. When I hear that, what I hear is no blood, nothing to show that she was battered in there, and nothing significant knocked over. In other words, there was no huge fight, which why would there be a fight? Porch Guy had a gun. Porch Guy looked like Porch Guy. I mean, he's terrifying looking. He's like your worst nightmare with a boogeyman coming in all, you know, gloved and balaclava all over his face, you know, just it's your worst nightmare. So yeah, I have no doubt that 84-year-old Nancy wasn't up for putting up a fight. I truly believe she very likely, you know, unfortunately could have even died from the stress at that point. It happens all the time. People go into shock. I've talked about it, hypoperfusion. where your heart rate is high, you know, your pulse is through the roof, which, by the way, they're going to know exactly, as we've talked about, exactly when porch guy or an accomplice snatched her. We're going to know exactly when I say we, it's going to come out, because the medical people would have had her heart going from, you know, 50 beats a minute to 140 beats a minute, because that's what would happen with that adrenaline and them seeing her. So they're going to have all of that. Nevertheless, snatches her and runs out the front door. But anyway, I just wanted to bring up this sort of epiphany about the grabbing and what that means in terms of the novice characteristics that to me become more evident by this. All right, let me move on to a case that just infuriates me. We are going to be, unless there's breaking news, we from now on are going to be discussing Nancy's case. I'm always going to touch it on it, usually at the top of the show, maybe at the bottom, but normally at the top. And then we're going to go into another case after that. And this is huge in the news because just a couple of days ago, this, I'm so sick. And it's funny because my husband helps with importing some of these photos. And he asked me this morning when he was importing these, he said, "Tell me this little girl isn't dead." I said, "Honey, I can't tell you that. She's dead." This case is a case of an absolute failure in every regard. This is little Missy Mogul. And I'm going to tell you all about what Missy suffered in her life and how yet she's able to get the Skittles Award. You know, able to get an award for having, I think it is, the best imagination. Colorful. Let's see. Sorry, I'm getting my face right down there. Yeah, colorful. I mean, all right. Missy, this all happened in Tallahassee, Florida. And Missy's disgusting, pathetic excuse for a mother, which I'll put up here, 23 years old, Chloe Spencer, and that's the other despicable one, her husband, and by the way, much her senior, 11 years senior, he was 35, Danielle Spencer. These two, this is Missy's little girl, 5 years old. I'm sorry, not Missy. Chloe's little girl, Missy, 5 years old. These are some pictures of her. I just want to put them up really in memory of her. You can just see her come to life. You can just ask yourself, how, why? Just all the questions. You know, again, not that much different from the Madeline Soto case. Really very much the same. So this girl, Chloe, hooks up with this predator. This predator who, by the way, was convicted of solicitation of a minor, everyone. Convicted of solicitation of a minor. And in between his conviction and the time he was sentenced. So there are always, after somebody is convicted, there is a portion of time that always the defense attorney is going to say he needs to be released pending sentencing. That's always a motion that is made. In this case, this pathetic judge, and I hope she gets removed. I was looking at all her ads, you know, running and all these pictures and her gold nails and her flashiness and her, you know, like on some glamour shoot campaign. This is not like the normal judges you see. I picked her best normal judge picture. Believe me, there's a lot of pictures out here that are much less professional. This was the most professional one in deference to her. But I really have absolutely nothing good to say about her. Again, a judge in Tallahassee, she pathetically let this guy out, Daniel Spencer out, despite the fact he had been convicted of soliciting a minor, convicted everyone, not on bond before the trial, after, and she let him out. For anyone who has worked in this industry, the time where you are going to have a predator who knows he is going away for at least some period of time, he's going to be sentenced and likely go to jail for some period of time. When do you think they're going to want to commit a crime? If I told you right now, you're going to prison for a year or 2 years, whatever she would have given him. Listen, I don't think it would have been much based on her track history and what we saw her do in this instance. When do we think that somebody's going to commit a crime? These bad guys are going to commit a crime when they get another chance to. And he knows he's not going to have a chance for a year or two or three or four because he solicited a minor and was convicted. And now he gets out. He must have just been laughing at himself or laughing at this judge, just literally laughing inside, saying, huh, perfect. Got her fooled because guess what I get to go back to? I get to go back to my little five-year-old stepdaughter who I have been sexually abusing for a period of time. Why do I say that? He was, and this is why I say an utter and colossal failure, he was investigated for abuse. Yes. Child Protective Services knew all about this case, knew all about what he was doing. Sure did. And they didn't take her out of that home. I look at these pictures and I just think how amazing Molly was. She was amazing. How do I know that? Anybody who could be assaulted in this way and still find a way to smile, still find a way to make a funny face, to play on a playground, to get an award for having the most colorful dreams. What an amazing human inside, I am telling you. Like I say, with all of these children we followed that are murdered by their parents, the last faces they see, that mother that is supposed to love them the most, literally to have her look up and see her mother's face, to see this face killing her. They're both being tried for killing her. Now, I don't think we have anybody in here who would say this, but I know on X I will, because a lot of people will say, Jen, they're not convicted in a court of law. They're innocent. It's on tape, people. It's on video. And people can get let go, like Stouch, the one that murdered Gannon, took him over and put him in a suitcase and threw him in a river. Her conviction's been thrown out. That monster. Maybe we'll do a show on that tomorrow, the second half, and we'll talk about Gannon again. Because I thought that case was done. But no, there was an error made. We'll talk more about it. But this woman, Chloe, her mother. That's who Missy got to see murdering her. And this wasn't just a murder, everyone. She was beaten, bruised, asphyxiated. She died of asphyxiation, ultimately. Maybe would have ultimately died of her bruises and her other, the battering she took. But according to authorities, asphyxia was the cause. And this is the most upsetting part, is this guy never should have been anywhere but in prison. He had already been convicted, people. So it wasn't before trial. It was after conviction. And this judge, and anybody in Tallahassee, let me give you her name. Tiffany Baker Carter, but she goes by Tiffany Baker. I looked this morning at all of these, as I said, glamour shot flyers, you know, her vote for me's and everything. And like I said, I found the most professional shot, because normally, and I tell you in my experience, as an agent for 28 years, I was never in front of anybody but the most professional and amazing judges. They were federal, though, because every week or other week, I feature these pieces of crap that allow these criminals out to commit further crimes, because now they have another chance. And everybody, please keep this in mind, too. What they catch these people doing isn't anything compared to what these people have done. In other words, it's not like, oh, they just caught them on this solicitation case of a minor and that's the only time they did it. No, 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 no. That's just when they got caught. These criminals commit so many crimes before law enforcement ever catches up. It just... that's just a fact. We're lucky when we get them. Look at Porch Guy. He's been running around for 60, are we on day 64 now? Still running around, even with his photo available. I know it's obscured, but there's, as I've mentioned, so many things from Porch Guy's photo. So please, if you live in Florida, if you live in Tallahassee, if you live in this region where you can vote, If you know anyone that does live in this area, if you have anybody over the age of 18, or no, 21, is 21 the voting age in Florida? 21 may be the voting age in Florida. No, I kind of think it's 18. I'm so sorry. I don't know that state law. Every state's different. If somebody knows, please put it up in chat. But sick. How does this person say that somebody who is trying to have sexual relationships with a minor and is convicted, how can any judge say, good idea to let him out into the home with their five-year-old little stepdaughter? Oh, I'm infuriated on this one, guys, with the Skittles, still colorful. Still full of joy, still a little girl, despite the abuse. There is nothing worse than cases involving children. That's just my personal opinion. I know I've shared with many of you, being on a violent crime squad for my entire career, other than maybe the first 8 months, where I worked white collar fugitive and what we call AO leads, which are reactive type leads that come in and then you react and whatever it might be. It might be serve a subpoena. It might be conduct an arrest. All the white collar fugitives. That's what I did about the first 9 months. And then I put in to go on the organized crime, violent crime squad, narcotic squad. That's what we handled. These are the violations we handled. I loved it when I got transferred over. But one of the things that we also handled on these squads, on these violent crime squads, was children. Child, PORN. And when supervisor would come on and they're interviewing you know, when they're first coming to the squad, because I'd been on these squads forever. I was on my first squad, like I said, 9 months transferred. I was on that squad for 10 years. And then when I put in for what we call a OPR transfer to Dallas, that's a funny story. I put in for that for my husband. He really wanted to live in Dallas. So I put in for it. I got it. That squad for 12 years. So I was never one to jump around. I loved my supervisors. I loved the work, loved what I did. But when we got a new supervisor after, I want to say, 10, 12 years, that guy was probably my only, I had only direct supervisor that had some real issues. But anyway, I won't get into that. I'm not one to bash people. I think it's just bad, but I'm just being honest. Real, when I say real issues, misogyny, issues, real issues. But nevertheless, whatever, we got along. It worked okay. But I'll never forget when he came to the squad, he asked, well, you know, what about, what do you not want to work? What do you like to work? I was embroiled in cases. So I'm like, I'm fine where I'm at. Just, and we had a big child PORN, don't want to get in trouble, case. And I said, listen, I understand if you have to put me on it to help. I'll do whatever the team needs and the squad needs. But just to let you know, that is my anything involving children. And I had two little ones, a year apart, Irish twins, and a baby. I said, if it's possible and you don't need me, please don't put me on those cases. Well, of course, he put me on those cases, which was fine. And I would literally have to sit for hours and watch that. And I know that you have to have somebody do it. You know, you have to have somebody watching these little girls like this being abused. I hated it, but took copious notes and, you know, helped with, hopefully, did my part in that case. I was not the case agent, thankfully. Just one of the many, just like in this case from behind the scenes with Nancy Guthrie, you have many people that had my role in that case that have a role in her case, mostly analysts, but other also agents looking through video, tracking down leads. We're called, when that happens, instead of being a case agent on that case, you're described as a lead agent. So the reason that you have a role, if it's significant, it can be put on your file review. So then you are evaluated for the job you did as a lead agent. So for instance, in this, during the time frame I was involved in that, and it wasn't anything I did. I still had my cases to work, but I would still spend however many hours, 8 hours once a week or 5 hours, just reviewing these films. Anyway, maybe that's why I have such a, I think everybody does though. Doesn't everybody, isn't everybody angry? Isn't everybody angry that this little girl is dead and the assaults that she suffered and the fact this piece of crap was released after he was already convicted of soliciting a minor? Gosh, I'm sorry to repeat, by this woman. I just don't think we can hammer it home enough. But let me tell you the other part of this case that is really going to infuriate you if you're not already infuriated. See this guy? That's her grandpa. That's Missy with grandpa. You know what? He was charged too. Not with abusing her, but with letting the abuse happen, knowing. And looking the other day, the other way. grandpa let it happen under his roof. And I've got to tip my hat to the prosecutors on this case, because guess what? They're seeking the death penalty for these two torturous, I'm not calling them humans, to torture this girl. It's on video. So yeah, I have convicted her factually. And listen, I truly know that they could get off. These two could get off. If they get a fancy talker like a Jackson, if they get somebody like that, they could get these two off. If this didn't have that, remember, that's what he does for a living. His number one, it was funny, I screenshotted this because before a Karen Reed trial, his number one claim to fame and number one area they talked about was, and I've got the quotes, it's so great. I mean, it's so disgusting. Have you been accused of sexually assaulting children? Words to this effect, I'm paraphrasing. We're your firm. He represented Kevin Spacey. I believe four individuals came forward about being sexually touched, assaulted by Spacey. He got Spacey off. Maybe Spacey was innocent. There were only four independent people who came forward. Maybe they were all four lying. Maybe all their details. Got her off. He got him off. Who he didn't get off was Weinstein. Can only fool so many people. So let's hope that because of this case having some notoriety in Florida, at least nationally, it's not getting the play that I hoped it would. But let's hope these two, and they will individually have a separate representation, because it would be a conflict for one person to represent both of them. But these folks, let's hope that they don't get some really good lawyer that's great at obscuring facts and circumstances. And look, everyone needs representation. I am a huge constitutionalist. I have all these defense attorneys on all the time. I have the utmost respect for people who do their jobs and their defense work legitimately. In other words, on the up and up. A lot of them don't. But I worked with some of the best defense attorneys ever. In fact, one of my main references on whenever I needed a reference, I can't remember, I needed a reference a couple of years ago. Gosh, I can't even remember what that was for. But I needed a reference for something, because obviously the jobs I've had so long, I can't remember what that I needed that for. But who I contacted and who was kind of my number one reference was a defense attorney who I worked all these cases with, these cartel cases, these organized crime cases, narcotic trafficking cases. And he was on the other side. He ended up later becoming a judge. So he now is the federal magistrate judge in Fort Worth. And you, with the good ones, and one case had, oh my gosh, we arrested 100. And once the public defender has so many, there's a conflict of interest. That's what I was screaming about in the Idaho 4 case, that at least federally, if you have a federal public defender representing even one individual, the rest of the federal public defenders are out because of the conflict there. And so you have to get other defense attorneys that are still paid by the government, but they're not within the federal public defender's office. That's why I was so irritated in that case early on. And then basically the attorney for Brian Koberger, and we released all that information, had a conversation with the judge at the time. Remember, that was the judge that was a marshmallow. And then there was another, well, he not only was a marshmallow, he backed out of the case. And then there, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say backed out of the case. He gave the case away. And then the judge after that was much more no-nonsense. But nevertheless, I don't mean to digress about all of that. I'm just saying that you can't have representation from the same office. And that's what upset me with the Brian Koberger case, because that office had represented Maddie Mogan's dad, had represented Zana Carnotal's mom, Kara Carnotal. So there was a huge conflict there as I saw it. The judge had Ann Taylor in chambers and they discussed it. And Ann said, listen, I wasn't that involved. Yes, I might've had an appearance, but I blah, blah, blah. And so they allowed it to happen. I'm just saying it doesn't happen federally. And I remember at that time just raising the flag on that. But nevertheless, with these two, they'll have separate representatives. Can you imagine if there's somebody, because of the notoriety, that gets involved in this case, even though it's on tape, and this little one on tape, her body completely bruised and battered, strangled, asphyxiated. Oh my God, what this little girl suffered. They described it as torture. And this is a physician, granddaddy, grandpa. I still don't understand how this young girl at 23, so she would have been pregnant at 14, how she got mixed up with this guy. Again, that's not the father of baby Missy. Not the father. This is a stepdad. I get why he sought her. Look at how young she looks. That's what floats his boat. But I would argue Daniel Spencer married her for one reason, and that was to have access to Missy. Again, it was an investigation that was done. CPS was well aware of this, and she wasn't removed. So unfortunately, or fortunately, at least the court is going hard. For those just joining, they're seeking the death penalty against both of them. I pray they get it. And I pray they don't pull it off like they did not seek with Stephen Stearns, that piece of crap, who abused Madeline Soto for years, since she was like 11 years old or something like that. I think actually we went back and think we calibrated around 9 or 10. So, and then they ended up doing a deal. Stephen Stearns is happy as a clam. He's happy as a clam because he gets to live. He gets to eat. He gets to see sunsets. He gets to walk. He gets to still imagine those times with Maddie Soto. And the fact that authorities never went after Jennifer Soto, the mom, I will never understand that case. I had on one of my favorite attorneys, Dave Ehrenberg, who was the chief prosecutor in Palm Beach County. Now he's in private practice. We talked about this case. I had him on my show about Madeline Soto. Like, he couldn't believe it. Neither of us could believe that he didn't get the death penalty, because the information was so strong against him. They had like 600 or something. Forgive me if my number is wrong. I don't have it in front of me, but dozens and dozens, we'll say, as I recall, it was hundreds, but we'll say dozens to err on that side, of photos with her, of her. I'm talking about the Soto case. And they didn't seek the death penalty. Well, they're seeking the death penalty here. And they charge Grandpa, who was a physician. He's not a dummy. How was Missy failed? failed by CPS when they initially investigated her being assaulted by this creep. Failed when he was allowed to be let off after being convicted of solicitation of a minor by this creep. We have to start holding our judges accountable. We have to start disseminating the information about these cases that are leading individuals to be able to murder other individuals while they are out. Anaya Blanchard, beautiful young girl, taken, I'm sure, sexually assaulted. She was in such bad shape, meaning just bones that had been scattered all over the place when she was found. By a predator, again, a predator that was released, that never should have been released. There's so many of them, everyone. There's so many of these guys that are out. And when they're out, that's when they're going to continue to pray. Pray on, and I don't mean this kind of prayer, P-R-E-Y, on little girls. And who are they going to go after? The easiest girls. The easiest little ones, the ones they live with. That is the number one, for people who don't know, is the absolute number one target of assault of little ones. It's not strangers that do it. It's uncles and daddies and brothers. That's who does it. Anyway, guys, I just had to bring this case to light, hoping you guys will spread the word about this judge, hoping she'll be removed. Ron DeSantis, who's the governor, has a huge movement for that. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, LJ. Thank you so much. Has a huge push right now to have her removed. They have a mechanism and the power to do it, and they need to do it. This is a no-brainer. What she did was criminal. And the blood on her hands, I don't think she cares at all. But the blood on her hands are the Skittles winner. Molly. I'm sorry, Missy. Missy. All right, everyone. That's our show for today. I can't thank you guys enough. I want to mention really quick for those of you who are members $3.99 and above, and I think we're going to add another $4.99 layer, because I tell you, I never knew that we had, I think $1.99 is the least expensive membership. That's for a whole month. And then, and we have videos and things that are only available to members, that come out first to members, that are, I might bring up and then I take them down, and I'll just allow members to look at them. So hopefully become a member, would love that. It's $1.99 a month. And then our highest is $5.99 a month. And we're doing something really special. We are having, I'm going to choose one person from the group as soon as Porch Guy is arrested, and or 6 months, whichever one comes first, because my prediction was that there would be a legitimate arrest within 6 months. Might not happen, but that's what I said, 6 months from the time the FBI got involved. So about February 4th or so. So 6 months from February 4th, if they don't have anybody in custody before that, I'm going to be drawing a name. And essentially, that name will get an FBI little goodie bag that I'll send to your house. So very excited about that. Let's see. Yes, happy Easter, everybody. You guys, I will not be doing a show on Easter. I know this will be the first time I've missed in 65 days, something like that. But in deference to the holiday, I am going to observe Easter. So I will not be doing a show on Easter. And for those of you in different time zones, I just want to wish everybody a blessed and beautiful, beautiful Easter. People all around. Look, we have South Africa in the house. A blessed Easter. I hope everybody had that is of the Jewish faith. Passover just passed. I meant to wish everybody a blessed Passover. So nevertheless, thank you. And I appreciate each of you in chat, the best mods in the business. Don't forget these special emojis that the mods and J15 headed up so that if you're a member, that's another special thing you get. And that's at the $1.99. You get these special, they're really cool. We have badges, we have hearts, we have emojis specifically for Nancy Guthrie that you can put up there in chat. And that way, when I'm jabbering, I can just glance right over and see your emoji. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Thank you so much for being on the show and joining us this Saturday before Easter. We'll pick right back up on Monday. I will post that show. We might be having another special guest. We've had a lot of guests this week. So if you are not caught up, I really recommend we had a ballistics expert on the Charlie Kirk case to just completely blow out of the water the misinformation out there about the projectile and what it means to not have an identification of a fragmented projectile. So I really recommend that if you're watching the Charlie Kirk case and that's an important case to you, please watch that. Yesterday, we had Lawyer Schiff on, especially if you like that vantage point where we talked a lot about the law. Please, please take a look at that. If you are into DNA and analysis and what it means that they have this DNA at Nancy Guthrie's house that is not matching up to known entities, if you want to understand that and the chances of that leading to some sort of resolution, if that's what you're looking for, I'm telling you, Dr. Fitzpatrick, it doesn't get better than that. I am working on a show with another creator that's going to be kind of a surprise and I think a lot of fun that we're going to be putting together to put together kind of a graphic presentation as to what we think might have happened based on facts known. And I think that that will be a very interesting show that I hope you guys can join us for. I don't have the date yet for that. And then I'm also hoping maybe to do a panel. I really would like to get a more balanced view on what's going on because I believe we just have a freight train running at this investigation. And my concern is after the investigation. In other words, after they have somebody in custody, what all of this is doing to the possibilities of having Porch Guy be convicted. Bad enough that I don't, you know, it's taking so long for Porch Guy to be found. And there's a danger to the community, no doubt, out there. So thank you, Gramado. I wonder if that's like Grandma 214 or Gramado. Anyway, everybody, thank you. Blessed Easter. And until next time, let me put her photo back up because she's what's most important here. Actually, I should put both photos up. I'm going to put Missy's photo up for a moment. She's in heaven now. So that's how we have to look at these cases. And Nancy Guthrie and all the missing, may justice be served.